opportunity, because if I don't, amen, we're not going to get done this evening. We need to, all right? Amen. Genesis 3, verse number 17. The Bible said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so Adam received his curse. We understand it's passed down from Adam to every man, woman, boy, and girl that is here, even under the sound of my voice tonight. Galatians 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And we're dealing with the thought again this evening of Christ and the curse. Christ and the curse. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name, that lovely name above every name, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do humbly bow in prayer again tonight to confess, Lord, this evening, Lord, that without you I can do nothing, and Lord, I am nothing. And Lord, we dare not try to lean upon the arm of flesh tonight. And so, Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would help us as we try to minister the Word of God to these that have gathered in the house of the Lord tonight, and by other means, and those that are listening. Lord, may the Word of God have an effect and a power, Lord, tonight, Lord, as it's delivered and, Lord, presented to men and women and boys and girls as they are. I pray this evening, O Heavenly Father, Lord, may thy will be done tonight. Lord, I pray especially for those who will be listening tonight. Lord, would be listening. Lord, maybe here or somewhere else and is lost and undone. Lord, maybe their heart is broken and, Lord, they're eating their bread, their life in sorrow tonight. Lord, they have no comprehension tonight of the curse and sin and all that's upon them. I pray tonight as that message goes out, may they be pricked in their heart. Lord, I pray not only that, but as Christ is magnified, may they see him as he is, the only hope of salvation and the only hope of eternal life. Lord, I pray tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would do a new birth work in their life. And Lord, help them tonight, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you for it and praise you for it again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We understand Genesis 3 is the record of man's sin and man's fall. And in the verses that we specifically read again tonight is a text verse, the curse that the Lord placed upon Adam, the man, for the sin that he had committed against God. We understand the Lord plainly said that the ground, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And he began to rebuke the man and deal with the man for the sin that he had committed against God. And the sin there, the curse is passed down. We understand that Adam brought it upon himself and upon all creation and upon all his seed that is after him. We're living in a cursed creation as cursed children. And this matter of a curse is something that is very, very real even in the hour that we live tonight. We understand that God had made man. He made him in innocence, and he made him after him a moral agent that could very voluntarily follow God or reject God. Man, in the initial days of his creation, enjoyed fellowship, enjoyed the blessings of God, enjoyed all that God had made him to be and to enjoy in this life. My friend, the hand of God made us, we understand, as we said this morning, made us
a little lower than the angels, but sin and the fall and the curse has made us a little better than devils. We understand this morning when we consider this evening, when we consider the curse, and when we reference this through a biblical interpretation of what is the curse. What is this curse that the Bible speaks about? What is this? And the Lord said that a ground is cursed for thy sake. We understand it that the matter of the curse, it implies that the Lord is giving a denunciation of man's sin, that there is a condemnation that is followed man's choice to sin, and that in this there is a vindication of God in His wrath and His holiness, and brings out against man because of man's sin. Amen. The curse tonight is a very real thing, and we understand it. And though before Genesis 3, mankind enjoyed the garden, he enjoyed creation. He had dominion over all that God had made, and being the pinnacle of God's creation, enjoyed every blessing of life that God had extended to him to be able to enjoy. But because of sin, the curse says, Adam, of the days of having great joy and experiencing great blessing, is now going to come to a close. You're still going to live, you're still going to work, but your work is going to be associated with labor and with toil. Now they're going to grow thorns and thistles that are going to work against everything you do. And Adam, you're going to eat of the herb of the field, and you're going to find bread, you're going to grow wheat and pound the seed, and you're going to make flour, and you're going to bake your bread, and you're going to eat your bread. But Adam, now, because of sin and the curse that is against you, you'll eat your bread in sorrow. And the implication is that, and Adam, your life is now going to be turned to pain and to death, to sorrow and heartbreak and heartaches and tears and toil is going to plague you until the day that you die. In fact, Adam, part of the curse that you are under is what God had explained to him in Genesis 2, that of the day that thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And God, in the curse of Adam, the curse that is upon man's head, amen, that you're going to return unto the ground. And you must grow out of the dust, and it's to the dust that you are going to return. And so, amen, part of the curse that we are under is, amen, that men die, our loved ones die, and one day we'll die. It is appointed unto men under the curse once to die. And all of this deals with, again, God's denunciation, condemnation, and vindication, my friend, toward man because of sin. We've looked at Psalm 37:22, that my friend, those that God has cursed, they are cut off from the Lord. I believe you see that in Genesis 3, that the result of the curse, amen, was not only what God had said to Adam in these verses, but amen, at the end of the chapter, we find that Adam is banished from the garden and exiled from the paradise of God, and cherubim is placed there in the east of Eden, preventing mankind from coming back into that precious place. Mankind, only 6,000 years have been cut off from God because of the curse. Amen. We've been exiled and alienated, having gone our own way from God, and I've been led straight into sin. The curse says there is no hope, and the curse says, I've been mad, friend, there is no way. 2 Peter 2:14. Amen. Dealing with those who have been appointed unto judgment, the sinner is called a cursed children. And so we understand tonight the curse still stands this evening. In fact, even more so through the dispensation of the law given by Moses, that God would indicate to mankind, and there is no religion that will redeem you. Amen. It's not the shedding of blood of goats and of rams and of oxen and of turtle doves. is going to bring you out of this curse, for the Lord, amen, magnifies the curse that we are under. The Lord, my friend, says we are without hope, and that there is no way in and of ourselves to come to God, leaving you and I, amen, schooled in our own sin, having violated even just one law. The law said you are cursed as though you had violated absolutely every law that God has made. And so I'm not re-preach all of this. We're dealing with the subject of Christ and the church. The fact of the matter is, when if all we've seen in Genesis 3, amen, was the condemnation of the curse as it is expressed, that Adam in that day and to his sons after him, then after him we are most miserable. But I'm thankful that in Genesis 3 there is another side to this, and that is there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All of this begins to be clear as we consider the Word of God. And the text that we've chosen in the New Testament in Galatians 3, hey, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. And so those of us that are cursed and under the curse and are identified to be cursed children, Christ has condescended to men where they are, and in a body we'll see tonight. Amen. He's gone to an old rugged cross, and there was made a curse for you and I. Amen. Mediating between God and man to bring us back, amen, out of the curse and unto the Heavenly Father. And what a blessed truth that that is tonight. Amen. If all we see is Adam and the curse, you and I are condemned. Our sin is denounced, and we are surely standing before a holy God seeking to vindicate himself against our sin that is committed in Adam. But, amen, I'm glad that's only part of the story tonight. Amen, for Christ stands in our stead. Amen, as the second Adam, and thank God the last Adam, amen, has presented a cure for the curse that we are under. And what a blessed thought that that is. And so we're studying this matter of Christ and the curse. The first thing, and we're drawing some thoughts from Genesis 3. When we began this morning dealing with the reversal of Christ in the curse, that Adam is the one that got us under this thing. And we're not without excuse in Adam. All have been made sinners. We have our own faults and failures, even though, amen, maybe we didn't sin after the similitude of Adam. All we might seem to have gone astray and turned everyone to our own way. And my friend, when we consider the curse in relation to the fall of Adam, amen, we find that there's a contrast between, amen, this thing Adam got us into and the matter of the grace of God that Christ desires to bring us into. Amen. What Adam did to enter the curse, Christ did in reverse. And we looked at Romans 5:15 this morning. I'm not, amen, belabor that point completely again this evening, but, amen, really it had to be this way. Amen. The choices that Adam made, the steps that Adam took, amen, the very definite steps got us under the curse that we are living in and groaning in this very hour. Amen. But Christ, when he came, did the absolute reverse and opposite of that that Adam did, thus providing a way, amen, we'll see on next week that we can be redeemed from the curse of the law. And so what is this matter of what Adam did and the contrast of what Christ did in reverse of that? Amen. We said this morning, number one, that Adam dishonored God's love. And he dishonored God's love in the temptation of Satan on that day. There is the insinuation. And then the devil leads us to man in the garden. It would seem to be an insinuation or an accusation. And God is being unkind to Adam, the pinnacle of God's creation. And it would imply, it would seem to imply, I am glad that, Satan would kind of be saying to Adam, if God really loves you like he says he loves you, then he would not be withholding this tree that somehow the devil convinced that it was the best that God had to offer in Eden on that day. And Adam believed this, and Adam began to question and follow the satanic lead that he was let down. God did love Adam, and God was not being unkind. God knew what would happen to Adam. Amen. If he violated the command that God had made. And so what Adam did was dishonor God's love. But we looked at the Christ, and Christ reversed that. Amen. And I won't re-preach it all again tonight. Amen. But when we come to Christ, we find that Christ was compelled by the Father's love. Amen. He was aware that the Father loved him. He knew that, and the Father had expressed that and confirmed that, amen, on several occasions in the Lord's earthly life. Amen. He would open back the windows of heaven and speak from heaven in an audible voice for all men to hear, "This is my beloved Son." Amen. He is the one I love in a special way and in a very special sense. And Christ, we said this morning, quoting John 17, amen, understood that the Father had loved him before the foundation of the world. And that my friend, Christ coming to earth, never changed that one whit. Amen. That he said, "The Father has loved me." Amen. In St. John 15 and verse 29, "As the Father hath loved me." Amen. Having loved him purely, having loved him personally, having loved him perfectly, Christ was acquainted with and aware of that love. And in response to that love, amen, he never dishonored the Heavenly Father. Amen. He never questioned the love that the Father had to him. And so any commandment the Father had given him to do, Christ, amen, gladly fulfilled that commitment. And that commandment, saying to himself, amen, he was abiding in his love. Amen. He did the reverse of that that had been done. Amen. The reversal of the curse by Christ. Amen. He said he was compelled by, amen, the Father's love. Everything Christ did. Amen. From the condescension of the virgin conception. Amen. To being born in Bethlehem. To the growing. Amen. As a child in this world. To the mockery and the ridicule. And the temptation and the eventual death on an old rugged cross. Amen. It was all that friend Christ being compelled. Amen. By the Father's love. Amen. Yes, he loved you and I. And there are times we emphasize, as the scripture does, amen, in fact, the choir sings his song, and we're not about to stop. Amen, then when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And what love that Christ had for you and I. Amen, but greater still, my friend, the love between the Father and the Son. Amen, that the Savior never, amen, lost sight, he never stepped outside. Amen. Love the Father's love. And what an example to you and I. Amen. That have come to God by Christ Jesus. Amen. That you and I, that what did Paul say? Amen. He said that Christ is an example to you and I. Amen. And that the love of God constraineth us. Amen. As Christ was compelled, my friend, by the love. Amen. That the Father had, so should the child of God. Amen. Follow that example. Amen. We're not bound by the church. Amen. We're bound to it in a physical sense. But, amen, what Christ did in reversing the curse, praise God, gives you and I, amen, a way whereby we can live above and beyond, amen, that curse, and we dishonor God's love. Amen. And so the reversal of the curse. Amen. And the reversal of Christ in the curse. Adam dishonored God's love, but Christ happens, and we said this morning on the side of Adam and Anna, not only dishonored God's love, but he doubted God's truth. And I want to spend a moment on this, if the Lord will help me, will maybe be real brief on the third one, but Adam doubted God's truth. Now, what we said this morning is that, and we remind ourselves in Genesis 2:17, and God had said to Adam very, very plainly, in regard to the day that Adam would ever choose to disobey God, and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had forbidden him, the Lord said, thou shalt surely die. And that, friend, you ain't got to be a theologian to understand that. You don't have to be, my friend, some Bible scholar, amen, to understand that God said it clear and God said it plain. But here comes the devil, the old serpent in Genesis 3, and he presents an opposing argument. He deviously cast doubt, amen, upon what God had said by denying God's word. Here's what God said, ye shall surely die. And then Satan comes and says, ye shall not surely die. Amen, I'm telling you, there could be more opposing. Amen, opposing declarations. Amen, God had said what God had meant, and now the devil, amen, is trying to get Adam to doubt God's truth. Amen, in this moment of time, there is a choice that Adam is going to have to make. Amen, there is some one or the other that Adam is going to have to believe. Amen, Adam could have reasoned this out, having said, I don't even know what death is. I've never seen death. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it feels like. I don't even know if it's a bad thing. Amen. And along came Satan and said, amen, ye shall not surely die. Amen. Causing Adam to doubt God's truth. Amen. Just to doubt God's word. Amen. And oh, how Adam believed the latter rather than the former. Amen. He believed he who was from below. Amen, not he who was from above. And Adam, believing, man, friend, the falsehood and the deception of the serpent, amen, began to doubt God's truth. And as a result, in comes sin and the curse that is upon us to this day. You say, preacher, did Christ reverse that? Amen. I'm glad to report to you tonight. And when I look at the life of our darling Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, I'm glad to say tonight, amen, Christ reversed what Adam did. Amen. Christ reversed it all. Amen. You say, well, what did he do with the truth? Amen. Well, I'm glad to ask tonight. Amen. We said and just thrown it out at the end of the service this morning. Amen. But let's expound on it for just a moment. Amen. Adam doubted God's truth, but when Christ reversed it, he was committed to the Father's truth. Amen. He was compelled by the Father's love. But he was committed to the Father's truth. Now, look with me in several verses, and y'all get you, amen, get your sword, drill, thumbs out. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight. Amen, look with me in John 18. In John chapter number 18, I love the Gospel of John. What a, amen, or the Gospel according to John, I would say. In John 18, Christ has been betrayed. He's been delivered into the hands of his enemies and his foes. He has now been brought before Pilate. In John 18, verse number 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now notice what he says further. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness. unto the truth. And then he added the opinion of everyone that is of the truth, here is my voice. And so Christ said, Pilate, I'm not going to debate you about who that I am. And when I'm not going to fall prey into the trap that my foes have said, amen, if you say I'm a king, then I'm a king. Amen, he said, but I'll tell you this. Amen, I'll tell you the reason that I was born. And I'll tell you the reason that I came into this world. And Pilate then is simply this. I'm not coming to deceive anybody. I'm not coming to tell any lies. I'm not coming in my own name and in my own power. Amen. I came with this cause. Amen. Then I might bear witness of the truth. Amen. Jesus would say another time in his earthly life. Amen. Then my record is true. And that crown of his day, they couldn't wrap their minds around it. Amen. They might have been accused him of all sorts of things. Amen. They accused him of being a Beelzebub. Amen. They accused him of being a blasphemer. They accused him of being a landdipper. Amen. And being a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. They said this man unlawfully violates the sanctity. Amen. When Christ said, amen, everything I've ever said is true. Amen. I didn't come to bear witness of the lie. Amen. I have come to bear witness of the truth. And that statement so struck the heart of Pilate. And in the next verse, Pilate said, what is true? And that friend, that's where the world is in the hour in which we live today. Amen. You see, when Adam began to doubt God's truth, part, amen, of the effects of sin and the curse today is that mankind is ever on a search for truth. Amen. They're trying to find truth everywhere they think they can find it. Amen. And it's amazing some of the things that, amen, they think they found and they call truth tonight. Amen. All sorts of funny ideas. Amen. Things like evolution and Darwinism. Amen. That's not true tonight. Amen. That is a lie of the great lie to deceive himself. Amen. Satan has deceived mankind. Amen. But in their sinful state, I don't know why I feel like preaching right here. Amen. But they are doubting God's truth. Amen. And they're like Pilate. Amen. And when the truth stands in front of them, apple to apple, amen, they just simply cannot grasp it and they say, what is truth? Christ said, I have come to bear witness of the truth. Amen. I thought about this and just considering, amen, some verses that began to flood my mind about Christ and his commitment to the Father's truth. Amen. What he did in reverse of what Adam had done. Amen. You know, John 1 and 14. Amen. John 11 said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And John said he was full of grace and the truth. Amen. You say Christ was full of truth. Amen. Not one day did he ever tell a lie. Not one day did he ever give a false insinuation. Amen. Not one day did Christ ever live his life to deceive anybody. Amen. Oh no, friend. He had a right relationship to the truth. And when he came, he was full of it. Everything he ever said was true. Amen. Everything he ever done testified. Amen. That God's truth was so there. Amen. Oh, I can't preach it. He was full of grace and truth. Amen. The Bible said later on in that text that the law came by Moses, and the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. And so tonight he was full of the truth. And truth, my friend, the very truth of God. Amen. Not only was Christ full of it, amen, but God's truth came by Jesus Christ. I thought about this in the life of the Lord Jesus said, and the scriptural record of him. Amen. Do you understand this? That Christ in his earthly life was the embodiment of truth? He was the very embodiment of truth. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, consider what he said. Amen. And what he said of him in John 1. Amen. He is called the true light. Amen. In John chapter number 6, Brother Larry, he is called the true bread and coming down from above. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Amen. You say, what do you say? I'm saying our Savior, he was the very embodiment of truth there. Amen. The true light and the true bread and the true vine. Amen. For men that are in darkness, amen, they'll never be brought to the truth outside of the true light of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the sinner that is walking, and the sinner that man friend is, amen, empty on the inside, and never no satisfaction, and never know the fullness of the grace of God outside of Christ and true bread. And for that traveling in that dream is but bramble. Amen. Heading for the fire in God's judgment. Amen. There is only one escape. And that is through Christ the true path. Preacher, what in the world are you saying? I'm saying Christ is the embodiment of truth.
Amen.
Not Charles Russell. Not Joseph Smith, not Pope, whoever he is in the hour in which we live. Amen. They are not the embodiment of truth. Amen. Lord, the Apostle Paul was not the embodiment of truth. And John the Baptist was not the embodiment of truth. Amen. They may have witnessed and testified of him who was. Of Jesus Christ, man, friend, is the one who is the embodiment of truth. Truth came by him. Amen. Christ. Amen. I feel good about this. Christ knew God's word is true. He himself sanctified himself by truth.
Amen.
John 17. Amen. The Lord is praying for his disciples and for you and me. And then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Amen. Oh, amen. Somebody said, I wonder where I can find true path tonight. Amen. Well, the Lord Jesus said, amen, I know that God's word is true. Amen. You see, that's what Adam pounded. Amen. God had given the word. And God had given truth. And God after him through that word and that truth. Amen. And set a pound for Adam. Amen. And Adam after him did not know. Amen. That God's word is true. It doesn't matter how you try to reach in faith. It doesn't matter, my friend, if what God said doesn't make sense to you. Amen. The word of God said, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
So Christ in John 17, amen, is saying and acknowledging that God's word is true. And notice here in John 17, and in verse number 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Adam was not sanctified by truth. He doubted the truth. He chose a falsehood. He chose a deception. He chose his own human reasoning over what God's truth was. When the last Adam showed up, he said, I'm going to reverse what the first one did to all of you. He stood and he sanctified himself by the truth of God's word, setting a pattern, amen, to the church of the living God. Amen. To all those that would be born of his name and born by his blood and born of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, we too are sanctified. Amen. Not in falsehoods. We're not believing the lie today. Amen. We're not in a deception today. We have gone by the way of truth.
Amen.
So is Christ. Let me ask you can I give you another verse? And y'all look at this in 1 John chapter 5. Amen. Oh, Lord, I've got to quit. Y'all are preaching man to death. Or, amen. Man, go preaching Jesus. He'll preach himself slap silly. Amen. Ain't you thankful for our Savior?
Amen.
He not only is the truth. He not only had a right relationship with truth and full of it and the embodiment of it, but he was true. Amen. We word it this way. When the Bible said he was true, that is, he was true to the truth. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I ain't going to finish. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. 1 John 5 and verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is T-R-U-E.
Yes, sir.
And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. I love these next three words. And eternal life.
Amen.
You take all your creeds and all your dogmas and all your religious, amen, semantics, and you take all the lingo you want to take. My friend, you leave Jesus Christ out. There is no eternal life. You're still under the curse. You're still in your sins. You're still headed the wrath of God. But my friend, I'm glad he gave us an understanding. I'm glad there's no doubt about it in my mind but a Paul. Amen. I know that the Son has come. I know that my friend he came. And that he is the truth. And that he gave the truth. And that he's the fullness of the truth. And in doing so, he is the one. Amen. That remained true in everything he did in his life. Remain true to, amen, his cause. He remained true even unto death. He remained true when temptations were being hurled his way.
Right.
He didn't say one thing in the open and do another thing in the secret.
Right. Why?
Because he not only was committed to God's truth, but in doing so, he stayed true. That's why when you come to the book of Revelation over and over, you find that one of the names given to him, amen, given to the last Adam is faithful and true.
Amen.
Is this important? You better believe it is, because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
I ain't believing in principles. Believing in a person.
That's right.
When the jailer getting ready to take his own life, amen, there in Philippi, and Paul and Silas bursting in and stopping it, amen, the jailer said, what must I then do to be saved? And Paul didn't say, man, you got to believe all these theological ideas, and then you got to be trained in. You got to be a Bible scholar. You got to know all this and all of that. He said, no, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ is the truth.
Amen.
Amen. You believe in anything outside of Jesus Christ, you believe in a lie.
Right.
It's exactly right, Brother Larry. If you're trusting in anything else except Jesus Christ, amen, you are trusting something that is as cursed as you are and will not save you then and now.
Amen.
But I believe on the truth.
Yes.
I've counted God to be true and man alive. Jesus is my Savior and is my Lord. Amen. My faith rests in him that never tore the light. Amen. I don't know how many more ways I can say it today. Amen. And you say, well, this that sounds conceited, preacher. I can't help how it sounds. And I'm glad I'm not believing in Islam tonight. trusting in Catholicism tonight. I'm glad I'm not enslaved to some new age religion of human reasoning and Scientology. Oh no, friend, but we believe the truth. Amen. We believe on He who alone, amen, has reversed a sin and a curse in mankind. Christ reversed. Christ reversed what Adam got us into.
Amen.
He was committed to the Father's love. Amen. We're compelled by the Father's love and committed to the Father's truth.
Yes.
Amen. I don't have energy to preach it. Amen. Let me just throw out this, and I don't know what we'll do. Amen. I can't make a whole series out of every one of these points. It's going to be a 9-point series before I get done. Amen. He was committed to the Father's truth. He was compelled by the Father's love. We find that Adam, you remember this morning we said that there was in him and getting his son this curse that he defied God's authority.
Yeah.
The one that had made him and give him breath to breathe was the one whose prerogative it was to say, I tell you what you can and cannot do. Period. And so when Satan comes and he presents all his deceptions and arguments as to why man ought to do that, and Adam begins to reason that out, what Adam should have said is, I don't have to understand it. It's just what God said. He's my authority. I'm not going to do what God said.
Amen.
Amen. But Adam defied it. Adam defied the command given him from his lawgiver. My friend took the right away from God to define the boundaries of his own created beings. How did Christ reverse it? Christ reversed it in that he was compliant in the Father's authority. Though equal with God, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to all the Father's will.
Amen.
Philippians 2:5-8. Christ did always and everything please his Father. Adam did not do that. Adam had one thing. Adam only had one thing that God said, don't do it. And he did it. Christ had a litany of things that God the Father had placed in the scripture about the coming of his Son. And Christ remained absolutely submitted to everything the Father said him to do. What's he doing? He's reversing the curse.
Amen.
Let me take just a minute. I'll be done here. Amen. I'll preach out. Y'all are to John 8. Look there. In John 8, let's finish this out. Amen. John 8 and in verse number 29. Here's what Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Here's what Jesus said, for I do always those things that please him. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, I've come into this world. I've been sent of the Father on a mission to reverse what Adam did.
Yes.
Adam could not and did not. He could have had he chose to, but he chose not to please the Father in the one command given to him. But Jesus said, I tell you, I have come and the Father has sent me, but he's not left me myself. And everything I do, always those things that please him. Amen. What is he saying? He is saying, I always and in everything please my Father. Look back, if you would, to John chapter number 4. John 4, verse number 34, where Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to what? To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 5, in verse number 30, Jesus said, I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath
sin being. In John 6 and verse number 38, the Bible said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." What got us in the curse is that Adam did not do the will of the Heavenly Father. Christ reversed it, that he always and in everything did that that pleased his Father. Amen. The Father testified of this obedience in announcing at the baptism and the transfiguration experience, "This is my beloved Son." Already dealt with that. But he added, "In whom I am well pleased." What was the Father saying? The Father is saying, "I am acknowledging and I am stating for all that can hear to hear and for every generation after to read about that my Son has been submitted. He has been dedicated to. He has come to reverse the curse, and in doing so, he is one that has been compliant to my authority." I thought about this, that even in that guarded prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find this on display. Christ must become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's on display in John 17 as he's praying in such agony and with such a burden of soul that he begins to sweat. The Bible said, as it were, great drops of blood, saying, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." What's he doing in that prayer? He's reversing the curse. You better thank God for it. He knows. He's looking into the cup, Brother Tim. He's everything is getting ready to be poured into his soul. He says, "As bad as that is, I'll still remain compliant to the Father's authority. And I will do that that is my cause to do." Can I say that in being compliant to his Father's authority, he did not do that begrudgingly, but did it happily? Let me show you this verse. It's a messianic verse in the Psalm 40. And Brother Tim, I think, hit on it this morning. Amen. I think that was the one where I went, "Oh." Amen. Amen. Psalm 40, and look with me in verse 7 and in verse number 8. Hebrews 10 made this statement, "Lo, the volume of the book that is written," amen, "of me," amen, and he made this parenthetical statement, "a body hast thou given me to do thy will, O God." Here's what the prophecy was when Christ would come, Psalm 40, and in verse number 7 and 8, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart."
Amen.
They has only ever been the one to walk this earth that can say that every day of his life he delighted to do the will of God.
Amen.
I'll be honest with myself. I try to do the will of God. I try to live my life in the will of God. Amen. There have been days I have been in the will of God, but I have not delighted to do it. There's times I do it because I'm scared to death not to do it.
Right.
But Christ never had that. Do you understand that? Christ never begrudgingly complied himself and submitted himself to the Father's authority. He delighted to do it.
Amen.
Adam said, "I'm not going to do it. I don't care what God said in that moment of time." Whatever reasoning was that he came up with, why he could, he defied God's authority. He found no delight in doing what God said to do just because God said to do it. But the last half said, I'll not only do it, I'll not only do it. That's why he gave me a body, was to do it. I would like to do it. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, this crowd says, oh, Christ was praying to find some way out of going to the cross. Amen. If you believe that, you do not understand the character of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's one who said, Adam got them in this mess. The only hope they have is I've got to reverse it. How do I only do the Father's will? I will gladly do the Father's will. Hey, so preacher, what the message is like this? What is the point of it? Is it just a bunch of theology you're throwing out? No. If that's all you think, you are missing it. The point of the message is today is for us to leave tonight saying, oh, what a Savior. Cursed children set free because Christ reversed the curse. Now next week, Lord's will, we'll deal with the redemption. It's not just enough that he reverses it. He's got to do something in that reversal for it to have an effect in our life. That's why Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made the curse for us. We deal with redemption from the curse. And then, amen, a week or two, or I don't know how many, we'll see how long the next point takes. But we're looking for renewing in Christ from that curse. I told you on last Sunday, just whet the appetite, that what Christ does in regard to this curse upon us, when we get saved, he's not just restoring everything to us that Adam lost in the curse. He's actually restoring everything Adam lost and more. There are things we have tonight that are far greater than even man had in the original state. And it is all in connection with what Christ did with that curse and what is available to you and I. I can't wait to preach on that. Amen. Amen. Let's shut up.